The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I'm delighted now to be joined by chef and owner of McNean House and Restaurant, Nevin Maguire. How are you?
I'm very good. And yourself?
I'm very good too. It's
great
lovely to see you.
You too.
Great. And you have lovely things. I always love when Nevin comes in because you bring things for us. What have you got today?
Well, we're going to talk about some of the recipes that I'm doing now next week at Bloom, and I'm looking forward to it. So we have a cheesecake, we have a satay sauce. I know me, you have spoke before about that. But a marinade for meats, for all lovely meats.
Are you a barbecue
chicken.
Fan?
Oh yeah, who isn't?
Yeah, you can't get the weather at the moment, but we're getting there hopefully towards the end of the week.
But you know what? Sometimes like this would be a marinade we do in the cookery school, and you don't even need a barbecue. You do it on a griddle pan, which is brilliant. And it's kind of like an Asian inspired marinade. So soya,
hand
ginger,
that over
course
to me, can I have a look? Do you know what? It's very liquidy.
Yes,
which
it
is. Which is fine because you're marinating. But are you cooking in it, or are you taking the meat out of that?
Well, good point. So what you do is you mix in some honey, or you can use maple syrup. We have a little bit of Chinese spice, some curry powder in that, and then some soya sauce.
Lovely. I'm dripping it all
and
over.
Don't worry. And a really lovely soya sauce is called ketchup manis. So this is for like sticky pork skewers, but you can do this with salmon. You can also do a Clare with chicken steak. So you asked a really good question. You get strips of meat or even a chicken breast, sit in that marinade for about an hour, and then you can just take it out, put it onto your griddle pan or pan fry it or grill it, even the air fryer, and then brush over your marinade. So you've had raw meat and you need to cook that out and then brush it
over.
That's
what I was going to ask you. I always get afraid that because I've had the chicken sitting in it, am I okay to use the marinade then to brush over the cooked meat?
As long as it's cooked through, absolutely. Just use a pastry brush or a spoon it over your meat or your fish. Salmon works really well. Monkfish would work really well in that. And then you just literally grill it, so you do. It's beautiful.
So you make sure you're bringing the whole thing up to a temperature once you've brushed it over that it's safe to do it.
And Clare, it'll caramelise because of the honey and also the soy sauce that I mentioned, but it's called a ketchup manis, which is sweetened and easy and it's not very salty. It's really beautiful. So
And if you make this then, will that keep in your fridge for a while, that marinade?
About a month I would say. If you put fresh garlic in it, it might reduce it a little bit, but absolutely that marinade will keep really, really well. And it's so versatile. You know, it's just lovely to put it and it just enhances whether it's chicken or whatever, you know, you want to cook with it. It's just beautiful.
So you're going to Bloom and you've been doing Bloom for how many years
20
now?
20 years. From day one, I love it. It's such a great family show. And it's just such a lovely song. I'll be doing my cookery demonstrations. And this year, we're going to be doing our pop-up restaurant. So
you're feeding people as well.
Yeah, well, listen, it is with a team called With Taste. So they do a lot of the hard work. We've done the menu. We've designed the menu, done our tastings. And it was a real eye-opener because you have to imagine, we're in the Phoenix Park. We're in the field. What they do is incredible. It's been set up now for the last maybe month or so. So I'm really looking forward to it.
It's a big challenge though, isn't it? Feeding people in that setting. Yeah. But that's what you do, particularly in the summer. You do all sorts of demos, don't you, all over the place? Not just the summer, all year.
Claire, you have to keep it simple and think of your audience, what you're going to do. So a lovely slow cooked beef. We have a lovely fillet of hake. We have a lovely chicken recipe and vegetarian. So it's not a big menu. It's kind of a choice of three starters or four starters. And then you have your four mains and then you have your desserts too, which works really well. So
and tell me, with the seasons changing now, have you changed the menu in the restaurant to reflect that? Because people are looking, we're looking for something slightly different now.
Yeah.
I was thinking about a roast chicken on Sunday and I thought, it's not, are we moved out of that season now? You know, the big roast dinner.
Well, I suppose, listen, roasts are always a treat and delicious. But for me, it's about, like, if you want to enhance your roast chicken, you know, do up a lovely flavoured butter. You could put some sun-dried tomatoes or a little bit of pesto, which we'll talk about in a minute, which is lovely in a butter over your chicken. And that's lovely in a salad. So like in the restaurant, we're using lovely lobster, which we get from Mullaghmore. We have beautiful, you know, live langoustines, Dublin Bay prawns. We have braised shoulder lamb, scallops. So it's kind of a little bit lighter, whereas we had venison now in the winter. So we do always.
So you're just changing it.
Exactly.
Changing it
exactly.
Slowly.
Like one of our producers, they've been with us for 36 years, Thornhill Duck. So we do a lovely variation of duck breast and then slow cooked leg and a spring roll. And our guests love it. Mm-hmm. Beef is still number one in the restaurant.
Is it?
Oh, for sure.
So expensive, Evan, isn't it?
Well, we're buying a centre cut fillet. It's €20 for us to buy one fillet steak. We get it from John Stone in Ballymahon. So we have to be clever. We have no waste. When I say the centre cut fillet, so you don't have the top and the tail, you have no waste. We cook that the way the customer likes it. And then we braise short rib, Claire. So short rib is one of these lesser used cuts and you could, you know, slow cook that, but we cook it for about 6 hours, so it's two servings of beef and the guests love it.
Yeah, you see, we've all learned to do that now over the last 5 years, haven't we?
We've had to find
the cheaper cuts and just low and slow and it's just as nice when you flavour it up. You've that lovely recipe with the balsamic,
the brisket
and the honey.
Yeah,
my sister made it at the weekend and it went down a treat. There wasn't a bit left. But it does work really well.
I think, and it's just a different way of cooking. Like, it's not like you can't really throw these on the the barbecue and cook them in 10 minutes. You know, it's low and slow and they're lesser used cuts. You think of pork cheek, pork belly, lamb shoulder, you know, that brisket that we spoke about there, and also the short rib. Like, they're beautiful cuts.
Yeah.
And
you might have to get used to eating those in the summer though now, right?
Ah, yeah. Well, I suppose you can, you're right. It's a different way of eating. And I suppose when we're talking about the duck, you could slow cook confit duck, shred it into a salad with some mango. That would be lovely and light, and a little sesame dressing, which would be really, really delicious. Even chicken skewers with that marinade. Done with a salad, lovely Irish tomatoes. It does get nicer than that.
Mm-hmm. Now, the satay. Mm-hmm. And you said we've discussed the satay before. I love that satay. That's
so
the satay sauce that I've learned how to make. And originally it was for the leftover turkey at
You're
Christmas.
Right.
But you can use it for
Of course you can. And we were making it last week. We were doing sticky beef skewers. We were doing eat out at home in the cookery school. But the key is really good coconut milk. So this is from Saba. So it is Saba Restaurant. They work in conjunction with Simply Better. And they're just great people from the west of Ireland. And they're, when it comes to Thai products, they're just brilliant. It's full fat coconut milk. We have also some crunchy peanut butter. Some of that soya sauce that I mentioned. A little bit of brown sugar. You can put ginger and garlic into it. And then you finish it with lime juice. That's important.
Why is lime juice the key, Nevin?
It cuts through the richness because it's a rich sauce with the coconut milk and then that lovely soya sauce.
So
and
it's
then
too sweet,
chili.
Is it?
Yeah,
without
you're right. It is.
Without the
that.
Lime.
And like this will work brilliant. This sauce now, I know you'll have it on your website, the recipe. That'll keep for about a week in your fridge. And you can serve it with some prawns. You know, if you want a nice prawn salad, drizzle it over some chicken. If you had leftover roast chicken, you could get some lovely cod salad, a little bit of this drizzled over toasted kind of peanuts. That'd be beautiful.
So what do? You heat it up.
Yeah, sorry, you put it all into the sauce. I'm sorry. You put all your cold ingredients into the
I'm
sauce.
I'm getting it to reverse all the time for me.
No, no, not at all. So you put your coconut milk in, you put your crunchy peanut butter, and that's really important. And it's a really lovely Irish one called Nutshed. They're based in Nina, who do really lovely a crunchy peanut butter, and you put that into the sauce with your soya sauce, a little touch of ginger and garlic, which gives lovely flavour. And then when you get the sweetness, is from the brown sugar. The lime is the kind of acidity. And then you finish that with some sweet chilli sauce.
And heat
which is
through
really
your, if you're
warm
using
it
cooked,
up, just warm
cooked
it up.
Chicken.
Yeah.
And it's
exactly.
A really simple one. It's and
so
it's
beautiful.
So tasty.
And you can put vegetables into it. I've got to say that, like, we've left it plain here and it keeps really well in the fridge. Just warm it up and put in whatever.
And you mentioned the coconut milk is full fat. Have you no truck with the half fat one that we can buy?
I was told once that you're paying for water. So get a full can of coconut milk, empty it into a jug and put the same amount of water. And you're paying for water. So you're as well off getting the full fat and dilute it with water yourself. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't let a low fat coconut milk through the door, me.
Would you not?
No.
Full
That's
fat
creamy
all the
and rich. It's great. And this coconut milk is lovely. If anyone makes rice pudding, any of your listeners, with a little bit of lemon or lime zest and vanilla, a little touch of sugar and some coconut milk. It's
I
beautiful in a rice pudding.
I wouldn't have ever thought of that for rice pudding, for a dessert.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Changes the profile of it altogether.
Just makes it more Asian, a little touch of vanilla in there, but the lime works really well again, and coconut.
Well, do you know what I did with the chicken out the weekend? Mm-hmm. I did leek in butter. I put a bit of wine, white wine, and kind of reduced that a bit. And then I put the chicken in on top of that and let it roast with some bacon over the top.
Beautiful.
Then I took it out halfway and I had kind of, I put some water into the sauce so it was juicier, you know, and then I let the top of it roast and more. But I used double cream and I said, Nevin will be proud of me now because I'm not using low fat. I'm not using single cream. I'm using double cream.
You're right.
Absolutely gorgeous. Mashed potato, roast chicken on top and then loads of the sauce.
Sounds beautiful.
And it felt a bit more seasonal to do it that way than do the traditional Irish roast, if
and
you like.
And gravy. You know what I mean? That's gorgeous. And double cream, you've hit the nail on the head because it has a higher fat content, so it's a richer. And that's what we would use, like when we're doing sauces, you know, it's really, really beautiful. So it just gives a lovely richness and flavour to the sauce. I love the idea of the leeks too. They're beautiful.
But if people are going to the restaurant, they're going for a treat, aren't they?
Yeah,
so they're
absolutely
not thinking about, oh, I should be health conscious for this one meal.
No, I mean, we do get dietaries. I mean, if people come and they're, you know, they might be celiac or they mightn't take garlic or, you know, we get pescetarian. So we kind of cater for everyone. There's no problem. We still want them to the same experience. They get nine courses, but you know, it's about just giving
they
them pleasure.
They roll out of the
lots
place.
Of lovely butter, which is the best ingredient, and then as you said, the cream. So it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I love the butter. I always say to them at home, bring me out the real butter.
I know, you're right. You can't beat it. Yeah. It's grass fed, and that's what makes it so beautiful.
Listen, the pesto that you have there as well, which is lovely when you make it fresh, but does anyone make their own?
Well,
pesto?
You know, really good question, because you can get really, really good quality fresh basil pesto was used in the fridge. I remember the very first time, Claire, I was on a meal experience with my students where I went to a Roscoff, one Michelin star in Belfast, and I had guinea fowl with fresh pasta and pesto. I didn't know what pesto was. So it shows how the Irish palate has changed. It's so beautiful. So we make this every day in the restaurant for our bread serving with butter and then with a balsamic and extra virgin olive oil. Toasted pine nuts, fresh basil, extra virgin olive oil, some garlic. And my little trick is, well, Parmesan cheese, but a little handful of spinach just gives a real green flavour and bulks up. Because spinach is expensive, so it is. And sometimes it's hard to get or grow. It's a very temperamental herb. But fresh basil pesto. And that will keep in the fridge. You can put a layer of oil, keep for about a month in the fridge. And if you grow your own basil, you can make this and you can freeze it.
So it keeps so for a month. And then if it dries out a little bit, you top more it up oil. With more That's with it. More oil.
And always shake it. So peel your garlic. It should be lovely and garlicky. Now you can use wild garlic. I find wild garlic a little bit strong and overpowering. That's just a personal thing. Chefs loves it because it's free. Do you know they go and forage it? But that's the truth. But I find it a little bit overpowering.
Do you guys grow it? Do you grow the wild garlic?
No, you don't
like it.
It's wild. No, it's not that I don't like it. No, we do use it. We make a wild garlic oil. We have it with braised lamb shoulder at the minute. But we get our gardener to go up to just up the road, maybe 10 minutes up the road.
You steal it?
No, we forage. Not steal, forage, Claire. I know we're from Cavan, but we're not the steak. What are you like?
So tell me about what you do grow, because you grow everything there, don't you?
We do. Well, Cavan's with us about 15 years, so we grow about 25 different types of salad leaves. Beautiful kind of Tuscan kale at the minute, sprouting broccoli. You know, he was growing pok choy there recently, baby carrots. So we work with him. A few things don't and struggle to grow. Tomatoes. We weren't getting enough sun. Now we cut our trees down beside the polytunnels this year, so that should work for us. And basil, we used to struggle. So hopefully this year he'll be growing more. Beautiful courgettes when there's season broad beans. So at the start of the year we said, Kevin, can you grow this, work this, and we work with him and he's brilliant.
So the tomatoes, the trees were blocking the light, weren't they?
Yeah, just over the polytunnels, because you need a certain amount of light, so you do, for particularly basil and tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm no gardener myself, I just say we'd love to grow this, so we work with him. If he says no, I can't grow that, that's absolutely
and
fine.
Then you send him out with the scissors to get the wild garlic from up the road.
To forage, not steal, by the way. I love that.
And tomatoes, like the difference between a good tomato and a bad it's night and day, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it is. Room temperature. Do you know what I love with tomatoes, Claire? I love a little bit of balsamic vinegar, olive oil, salt, and a little bit of lemon zest. It's beautiful. Just over the top
simple,
of them.
Simple.
Yeah. I was down with a lovely Irish grower. It's probably only 5 commercial growers in Ireland. Grantstown Nurseries in Waterford. And he grows about maybe 10 different varieties of tomatoes. Tompkin, which is one that I'm actually using today in some of my recipes for Simply Better. It's a lovely big tomato. So it is. So the season starts in May until October. And they don't use any sprays on their tomatoes. I didn't know that. Which is fantastic to see that.
It's great.
Room temperature. A little bit of oil, as I say, olive oil. You can't beat that. The king of oils.
Lemon juice.
And then a little bit of lemon zest. Yeah.
And basil. Nevin, thanks so much for coming in. Bloom is coming up next weekend at the Phoenix Park. Nevin, great to see you. And
pleasure,
thanks
Claire.
To everybody for listening and for getting in touch.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.